You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
You will all fear me.
Why?
And produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Don't forget to check out our social media after the show. We have Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
And, of course, also check out our website, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Okay.
.com. Sorry.
I try to reference something
what
that
was... What was your line from again?
What? Why? Which one?
Why am I... I'm blanking what you just said. Who says that?
The fear demon.
The little demon.
The little demon guy.
Oh, that's right. The little fear demon. I'm like, why should I know what that is?
I was trying to make some kind of reference to the something that happened in season four. So I was like, that's the only thing I could think of on the spot. So I'm just going to go with
no,
it.
No, that works. Just yeah. Actually had a brain. Mm-hmm.
Did you get my reference to the mayor in the last one, though?
Yeah.
The very last. Mm-hmm. Well, gosh.
That's a good imitation of him.
Thank you.
As he dies. Yes.
As he dies. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but we are past the mayor.
We are past the mayor.
Yeah, we're past
the mayor. We are in season four.
He gone.
Yes.
He gone.
He's dead. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, mayor. Yeah. And the school is gone, and it's a whole thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But season four, we got so many people in this. So, again, obviously Sarah is here as Buffy. Nicholas is back as Xander, unfortunately. Allison is back as Willow. Anthony Stewart Head is Giles. Mm-hmm. We get a new character, Mark Blucas, as Riley.
Blucas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is not my favorite character.
He's interesting. He's interesting.
It's okay. You don't have to like everybody.
I have a love-hate relationship with him.
That's valid. Yeah, I get that.
It's okay. James Marsters is back as Spike, and he's a full-time main cast member, as he should be.
Yes!
You okay?
Yeah, it's not like you're dying
over
it.
We got her all worked up over Spike.
Yeah. Well, he does that. He has that effect.
He really does. He does. Mm-hmm. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. And then Seth Green as Oz. He's listed in the main cast, but he's not in really that many episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not until, mid-season? Or does he leave this season?
He leaves this season.
No, he leaves this season.
He leaves pretty early on.
He's gone.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for our reoccurring cast, Emma Caulfield is back as Anya. Again, Ashley's favorite character. Amber Benson comes on as Tara. Mm-hmm. Leonard Roberts is Forrest. Also, not really one of my favorite characters. Really none of the initiative people. Bailey Chase is Graham. Lindsay Krause as Maggie Walsh. George Hertzberg as Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam Kaufman as Parker. Christine Sutherland is back as Joyce.
Stinky Parker, man.
Stupid Parker. We don't like Parker, for sure.
We don't like Parker.
No, he's the worst. Mercedes is back as Harmony in a couple episodes. Paige Moss is Veruca, another character I do not care for.
Nope.
David is back as Angel for two episodes, and so is Eliza as Faith for only two episodes. So,
Stupid Harmony. Get away from my Spike.
She's just so funny, though. I just love Harmony.
Honestly, I don't know why he didn't just kill her.
It's such a bad pairing. Spike is just needs somebody. That's all it is.
I mean, Harmony
it's so he can be carnal. That's all it is. It's all carnal.
It's convenience for Spike.
Yes.
And she's blonde, so it's like that he doesn't realize he's in love with Buffy yet, I don't think, at this point.
No, next season
he starts to realize it later. Yeah. But I think I need a blonde.
I just saw the episode in season 5 where he makes her pretend to be Buffy as for their foreplay, and it's just hilarious to me because she's not really that into it. It's funny. Yeah. But poor Harmony, you just need to leave, but whatever.
She finds her place eventually.
I do like Harmony.
She's a very good secretary for Wolfram Hart.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't mad to see her come back.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Angel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this season our big bad is Adam, which I feel like he's the weakest one so far.
He is so weak.
He's okay.
Because he's only there for, like, what, 2 episodes?
I don't know.
Making him the whole time.
It's the build-up. Part of it is the build-up.
2 episodes.
Right. Adam was in 8 episodes. So, not even half the season.
Yeah.
That doesn't even fit. I don't even remember him in half of those episodes.
So that's the thing. I remember that he existed, and I remember him being a decent villain, but not enough to be like, yay, Adam.
Yeah.
It's a letdown. Are you sure he wasn't just... Keep going. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah.
He's credited in 8 episodes. That's all I can tell you. Well, I don't know what he did in those 8 episodes.
They bring him up in multiple episodes, and usually someone... Mm-hmm.
The actor is in 8 episodes. Yeah. Adam himself is in 8 episodes.
They did the approach of, like, the more other characters talk about him, the more bigger he feels. So it's like...
Yeah.
You know, his presence is always kind of there, but then when he's there, it's like, yeah.
And one of the episodes he's in, though, is the last episode where he's not actually Adam. He's like he's Adam, but he's like his human form. So I don't know if that doesn't really count. So he's got like 7 episodes maybe where he's the actual, his character. So, yeah. So the 4th season of Buffy aired on the WB from October 5th, 1999 to May 23rd, 2000, along with the 1st season of Angel. I believe this is like the 2nd to last year. I think next year might be their last year on the WB. And then I think they move after that.
Yeah.
But Ashley will figure that out because that's not my problem. So episode 1 of this season. The freshman. Yes. Trying to adjust to the rigors of college life proves to be harder than Buffy imagined. Mm-hmm. She moves into a dorm. Must contend with a less than stable roommate.
Been there.
That's an understatement. And the complexities of dating college men. And on campus, Willow is overly enthused about college and her ongoing romance with Oz. And Xander unexpectedly returns from his self-discovery adventure. Okay. And Giles seems to be enjoying his life away from being a librarian and watcher. And then our last episode, episode 22, is Restless. And this is a primal force, which, well, we now know is the first Slayer. Stalks Buffy, Willow, Xander, and Giles in their nightmares. So, very interesting episode. Our highest rated on IMDb is episode 9, Something Blue, and episode 10, Hush. What was Something Blue?
I don't remember, but I know Hush.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows Hush.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Very like, freaking
best
creepy.
Episode.
Yeah. Something Blue. I do love that episode. That's when Willow does that spell and it goes wrong. And Giles is blind and
like
Buffy
Spike and Buffy
are getting married.
Each other.
Right.
And they're like,
I really
super,
only enjoy for the
like,
Spike
grossly
and Buffy.
Cute. I remember that. Like they're like disgustingly cute.
Yes. Yeah, so you have Spike, Buffy, and then the combination of Giles having to hear it is the best thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so that is a great episode. I agree. Second highest rated, season 4, episode 16, Who Are You? It was an 8.9. So what was episode 16?
I got you. Switch bodies with Buffy. Faith enjoys freedom.
I do enjoy that. I like seeing them flip-flopped. Yeah, even though that was... pretty sketch for
weird
to do that. But yeah. I really enjoyed seeing the flip flop there. I thought that was, those actors did a good job.
Yeah, that was a powerful episode.
Mm-hmm. And then the third highest rated would be the season finale, Restless. Lowest rated is this Beer Bad.
Restless is the dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you finale. Said Primal. You said the other one was the dreams, and it's not.
No, Restless. I said it was a primal person force. Oh. That was a description, yeah.
We're doing
the title is the Restless.
I thought you, never mind. Ignore me. It's my cool. coffee's Don't gone worry. And my brain's not working anymore.
It's okay. We'll get through it. No worries. Okay. So, lowest rated, episode 5, Beer Bad, and episode 18, Where the Wild Things Are. They got a 6.3 out of 10.
I hated Beer Bad.
Really? That was one of my favorite episodes.
I like Beer Bad, and I like it much better than I like Where the Wild Things Are. Yeah. Where the Wild Things Are, I definitely hate.
Where those Wild Things Are?
That's where Buffy and Riley just do it the whole episode, and it's stupid.
It's so weird.
That's very weird. It's a very weird sequence when they do that. Like
you can say weird. I'm going to say stupid.
Trippy music where it's happening. I just remember like there's a whole fight sequence going on while they're doing it. And it's like this really, the music is very strange.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened this season? The kids go to college, except Xander. Oz leaves. Faith wakes up. Buffy starts a relationship with Riley, and even though I'm not a big fan of Riley, I did note this is the closest to a normal relationship she'll probably ever really have.
Yeah, this was probably, like, technically the healthiest until Adam came around.
Yeah.
Tara is vastly underutilized, in my opinion, and Spike is here to stay, but Riley's stupid friends break him, and Giles has nothing to do, but still somehow has money. Robbie and I had a very long conversation about the curiosities of Giles and where he's getting his money from. So, yeah.
I wonder how much he got paid as a watcher.
He must have gotten a bundle because he's not doing anything this season.
Watcher pension.
And he has money.
Because he doesn't get the magic shop until next season, right?
Yeah. But where did he get the money for it? I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, he could have done a loan.
Could have done a loan. He could have a family. He could have a. We don't know his family history, so he could have.
This is true. He could come from a very wealthy British family.
That was our suspicion. Mm-hmm. Like he's got money somewhere. Yeah, but very curious about you, Josh.
I mean, how else is he going to become a watcher? He's probably from. It's probably like what you know. What would be interesting if we actually had like an episode that explained like how the watchers started and where they came from. They're probably all like old royal bloodline.
Yeah.
Some sort of knight's
realm. You have to, yes, knight's realm. You have to, like, if you're a male, you have to go into, or whatever child, because there was a female watcher.
Yeah.
Was this season?
Yes. They do, like, an either or. So it's like you're either a warrior or a watcher. So it's like, you know, based on your family history, your lineage, your DNA, whatever, like, you're more equipped to be a knight. You're more equipped to be a watcher. You know, it's kind of that.
Yeah, this was the season with Faith's female watcher, right? Who's just
That was last season.
No, you're right, it was last season.
Oh, that was last season?
We forgot to talk about her, but...
We did forget to talk about her.
Yeah.
She was only there for a second, for and she's gone.
So. But we don't like her, so forget about
like
her.
Like, one episode, so yeah she's gone.
She's horrible. Awful.
She's pretty terrible. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So this season had the most crossover episodes with Angel, the series, which makes sense because they want you to go watch the new show. So, of course, they're going to do a lot.
Which has not helped Buffy and her mental state.
No.
True. Joss Whedon has stated about season 4, the loss of Angel actually made things easier because it meant new places to go. What had become tough was writing new changes out of that relationship, which, fair.
Yeah,
by season 4, we were in mission statements. What we said was this was the first year of college. The first year of college is about being able to do whatever the hell you want, completely losing yourself, trying on new identities, and changing. Exploring sexuality, exploring freedom to screw your boyfriend all day long, which Buffy did do for a while.
Okay.
I said to Robbie, and this might be mean, and I'm sorry, Joss Whedon. I said to Robbie, because I, again, do not care for that episode. I was like, this is just doing too much. I said to Robbie, I feel like Joss Whedon wrote the way he wanted his college life to be, and it probably wasn't. And
probably.
I think that's about 90% of Joss Whedon's body of work is just wish fulfillment.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably. Isn't that most of people's, like.
I mean, I guess yes, that's fair technically, but, like, Yeah. It is. It is. But I feel like he, it's a little bit more with him. Like, I feel like he leans a little more into it than most people.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, sorry for the hush phone. I mean, how else do you explain Xander and Anya? How else do you explain Wesley and Illyria and Angel? Like, mm-hmm, the nerdy guy winds up with this goddess. Like, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but I feel like there's something deeper going on.
Yeah, reading. You're not wrong.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. So in 2023, Sarah Michelle Gellar posted on Instagram a photo of her scene with Pedro Pascal, who played Eddie.
I forgot he was in this until I saw it. I'm like, right? Pedro!
And Pascal learned about this post during a red carpet interview with Entertainment Tonight's Ash Crossan. And Crossan asked what he remembered about his experience on the episode, and he said everything, absolutely everything. Aww. I remember she had ice cream in her trailer, and she gave me some. Aww. She went back to her trailer, she got me some ice cream, and she shared, because it was a night shoot. It was the middle of the night, and we were on the UCLA campus, because they hadn't built the college sets yet. Yeah. I was doing a play in Long Beach, and I had to miss the opening night because we were shooting this very, very short moment. I remember everything. I could go on and on and on. I could give you step by step every detail. I had to have lunch in the vamp mask, and she was incredibly kind. She taught me how to use a sandbag to hit my mark. She was the best. It's so cute.
So
I just loved it.
I love that Sarah Michelle Gellar is just so sweet.
Yes, yeah. It just made me so happy.
Such sweet people.
And then later on that same carpet, Access Hollywood asked Pascal about the same post, and he said, "What I just found out, which I'm very excited about, and I can't wait to get my phone back so I can look it up myself, is that Sarah Michelle Gellar remembers me. I remember every moment of shooting that episode, as brief as it was, and she was such a kind scene partner, and we had the best time."
Love it.
And it just, I had to do the whole spiel, because I could just picture him on the red carpet getting all excited about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's cute. I like that story.
I love Pedro. I can't wait to, I'm going to go watch The Materialist in theaters. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have too many movies I need to go see, and we are behind.
I know! So many.
Yeah. Okay, so Joss had originally envisioned that the love triangle between Oz, Veruca, and Willow would continue for most of this season.
I'm glad Green, it didn't. I hate Veruca.
Thank you. Green, however, abruptly left the show to pursue a movie career, explaining that the character was always better served in a reoccurring capacity, and Joss and I both felt it was better to revert to that status. Except he only came back like once, and then
yeah, he didn't come on very often.
His movie career kind of thought.
Yeah, movie career took off, and then Family Guy after that. So
yeah,
like, he's had a lot of work post Buffy, and he's still working.
Yeah, and he's a busy guy.
Yeah,
Seth Green. Joss Whedon reportedly planned plot lines months or years in advance. So here we go back into some of the foreshadowing that we kind of discussed last episode. Faith mentions that Buffy has to get ready for little sis to arrive, which is foreshadowing Dawn. When Faith, as Buffy, uses the credit card over the phone, she states that the expiration date is 5/01, and the gift in 2001 was broadcast in May. So 5/01 for when she dies. Again, another reference to that. And Buffy mentions how she and Faith just made the bed, a reference to their dream in this year's Girl. Tara asks for who, and Buffy says, "I thought you were here to tell me." And I'm sorry, this is on the last episode, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Buffy says, "I thought you were here to tell me." She looks at the clock made by Sony, which has the O and Y blacked out, and the time is 7:30 a.m., so the clock reads from top to bottom, S-N-A-M. The morning sun is called the dawn. This immediately is repeated when Tara hands her the Manus card from the previous episode upside down and reads from left to right, sun a.m. or sun, well, I just said it, sun a.m., not sun a.m. Sun a.m., so dawn.
Sun a.m.
And then Buffy mentions how late it is after looking at the clock. Tara says, "Oh, that clock's completely wrong," which is another foreshadow to her death coming. And let's see. I already said all this in the last season. And then there's another subtle plot clue to the arrival of Dawn. Buffy and Tara talking. Okay, and Tara says, "Be back before Dawn."
Right.
And then at the end, Buffy stops to look in Dawn's room at the unmade bed. So I'm like, okay. I mean, that's well set up. All these little hints. Yeah. Nobody understood it, but now we do.
Well, no, of course we didn't, because it's Joss. We're like, what are you doing?
It's Joss, but also, like, this is a time before this type of storytelling was big in primetime television. Like, he was thinking in terms of, like, the shows we have now that are on all the streaming services.
Yeah.
Back, you know, he was ahead of his time. So it was like a lot of people weren't really ready for that and didn't quite pick up on it.
Yeah. That's true. The desert in Buffy's dream is the same desert that appears in War Stories from Firefly.
Nice.
Oh, there's a crossover. I can't wait till we talk about
Firefly. Yes.
We're getting there.
It's summer, but like, I'm so ready.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting there. We'll get there. And it was rumored that the finale was going to guest star many past reoccurring characters. Willow's classroom dream was going to have Larry, Cordelia, and Amy. Jenny was going to be pushing the baby carriage instead of Olivia, followed by having Olivia crying in Spike's crypt. Faith was going to appear in Buffy's bedroom, telling her to be back before dawn. And Angel was going to appear in the desert as the voice of the first Slayer. But they can only get Seth Green, Mercedes, and Armin to come back for the episode. So it would have been a little different if they could get some of the other reoccurring people.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they couldn't get Cordelia back, because Cordelia was literally an angel.
Well, so I think they couldn't get either of them.
Available.
Well, I don't think they were, though, because they were actually shooting their show.
Oh, they weren't available.
Yeah, because I think they were too busy.
Back. Sorry.
Yeah, they couldn't make it work to shoot both Angel and come over for this. So, because that stupid episode that I don't like in this season, Buffy wasn't in it as much because she was actually shooting over on Angel, so they couldn't have her in the episode as much.
Which episode was that?
The one where they're doing it the whole time.
Oh, that one.
Right.
Just like, I just wish you would have written her out a different way for the episode.
I mean, if you're going to be written out of an episode, there's worse ways to go.
Well, I wish you would have done the worst way.
If I had the option to just, you know, for an entire episode, I'd be like...
Honestly, that episode is like a man, like, is the boy's dream. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sex in bed all day.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
People enjoy that. I don't know. Maybe not for everybody, but, you know, people enjoy
it. I mean, definitely teenagers, especially, too. Mm-hmm. Like, the younger.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, when I was in my, like, teen years and 20s, it was something. I remember that watching that episode, I'm like, can that actually happen? You know.
Well, I mean, you got to get up to eat at some point, and you got to get up to walk around.
You got to do other things.
But eventually, you know.
But, like, my virgin head was like, is this real? Like, could this actually happen?
I mean, like, okay, yes.
Now in my
you need to take breaks. Yeah, you definitely need to take breaks, and you need to, like, revamp yourself. Sure, you need to hydrate. There's a lot you need to do, but I'm saying, you know, I mean, a version of that could exist.
They mention that in the episode. Like, something about someone mentions, like, they are going to die if they do not stop and, like, eat or, like... They're just going to go until their energy's gone.
Spell. I mean, whatever. They're correct. Yeah. They're correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably.
But I want to go back to the freshmen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the freshmen.
Yes. Back to the freshmen.
Yes.
Because this episode, the roommate situation, I know.
We've all been there.
We have all been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Horrible. And when I rewatched this episode for the podcast, upcoming podcast, I'm like, I'm like taken back to my freshman year. I'm like, ugh. And then like her actual roommate ends up being an alien. I'm like, I wonder if mine were aliens or a demon or whatever. I'm like, that would make so much more sense.
Not out of the question.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's Dan, did so you have funny. Good roommates good roommate the first year?
The first year, yes.
Were you in the freshman dorm or were you in a different dorm?
No, I was in the freshman dorms. I had two different roommates because one of them moved out and then another one moved in. But yeah, my freshman roommates were fantastic. Sophomore roommates were like pretty much, I mean, they were there, but we had no relationship whatsoever. And then my junior and senior were the same person and it started off great and then unfortunately had kind of a falling out. On the whole, most of my roommates' experiences were positive until there was a situation where it was very similar to Buffy's roommate, where it was like with Cher playing the same song over and over and over and over and over again. I have definitely been in that situation. Not with Cher, but with other things. Same song every day, every time I come into the room. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why you have headphones?
Yeah, headphones for a reason.
Good use lord.
Yeah. I never played my music out loud in the dorm.
Not right. I didn't either. Well, not really.
I kind of wish I was in the freshman dorm because I was in South Point my freshman year. And I had three roommates. Four with me. Mm-hmm. And all three
so many
were,
people. So many they people were all in a little space. Oh my gosh.
Well, it was a bigger space. Like, it could house four people.
I'm sure it wasn't big enough.
No, we needed walls. We needed walls in between us.
Mm-hmm. Dorms are never big enough. It doesn't matter.
But after that, I had great experiences every year because I lived with, like, Holly for 2 years.
Yeah, you live with people you knew.
For years. Yeah. And thankfully, my very last semester, I ended up with a girl, not this Megan, but a different Megan, and we became really close. She actually, like, I follow her on LinkedIn, and she's become, like, a huge writer. She wrote for Supernatural. She wrote for Supernatural. She's done Superman and DC comics. Like, she actually goes to Comic-Cons and does panels and does meet and greets, and I'm
very cool.
It's amazing.
Dang it, Megan! We should have stayed in contact.
That's very cool. Very cool.
She took her writing. She's the one who introduced me to Buffy and Angel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I thank her for those.
Yeah.
Then she went on to Supernatural. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Getcha.
Yeah. That's great. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like the fact that she was a writer for Supernatural, I'm like, I'm so jealous. Like that's amazing. But she did the same program you did. She went out to LA and
The LAFSC.
She was a communications major and all the things.
Was Megan?
She was a Fitzmartin.
I know the name. I had to put
really,
a face
really
for the
name.
Really,
really curly, big
her.
Hair.
Yeah.
Really, you saw her with me a lot.
I'm sure really I have. Really I just, I'm vaguely seeing a face. I have to look her up. I have to, like, put a face with the name. I remember the name.
Yeah. I have a ton of pictures of me, her, and our friend Nicole in one of my senior year Facebook albums.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was a lot of fun, and she still is, probably. I just haven't seen her in college.
I'm sure she is, living out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and she grew up in Celebration, like Celebration, Florida, and me and her were Disney friends. Like, we were just, I kind of wish if we were stayed in the state, like, near each other, like, if she didn't go off to California, I think we'd still be really good friends. Anywho. So, and then when did Parker episode happen? Because one also triggers me. Was that the second one?
It's first or second one? It's very early on.
Hold
on.
I think it's the second one.
Third.
Yep.
It was the third. Okay. I know it was pretty early. Third.
Well, he shows up in the second one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, he's there before that. But the third one is where it's like.
Mm-hmm. Where they actually.
Where he sleeps with her in dumpster.
Basically.
Yeah. Parker is.
Oh, my gosh.
He knew what
reminds
he was doing.
Me of my idiot from my freshman year. And I just want to punch him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, he knew exactly what he was doing.
So many triggers. So many triggers. Mm-hmm. Stupid upperclassmen.
Yeah. We don't like stinky Parker, man.
No.
Not at all.
And it's harder, too, because it's like that's the first anything she's had since Angel. Mm-hmm. And they set that up to be like, this is very special because it's like, you know, you're on your own, you're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes sense anymore. Here's something you can grab a hold of. And it's just, nope, just kidding. Ha ha. It's actually terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, like, Riley comes along and he kind of finally explains him. It's like, Buffy, just use your Slayer powers on Parker. It's fine. No, no one will miss him.
Exactly.
Everyone might
no
actually rejoice.
Yeah.
Nobody will care.
Throw him in a vampire pit so he turns into a vampire.
There you go.
And then,
like,
and
don't
then
actually commit murder.
Fine.
Like, turn him into a vampire,
then
kill him.
Don't commit murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't faith it.
Make him into something that you can kill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's your destiny.
Perfectly good to stake him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. And then Mercedes. Mercedes is fine. What's her name in here? Mercedes' name in here. Harmony.
Harmony.
He annoys me through all of everything.
I love Harmony.
Harmony's just Harmony.
I love
She's
her.
Just, you know. She's, it's like even as a vampire, she's still Harmony.
Yeah, she has no brain. It's okay, though.
Being no brain whatsoever.
Being a vampire sucks.
She's so dramatic.
She's so dramatic.
Oh,
I love it. It's
great.
So great.
I love her. She's too funny.
Okay, do we like the change they did with his werewolf form going to Oz?
Yeah.
I mean... I'm gonna be honest. It didn't really register in my brain, but I mean, it looked fine to me. I'm about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's fine.
I think it's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. You go from a full-blown werewolf to a half-man werewolf.
Man-wolf thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But...
I mean, I guess it doesn't really bother me.
Like, it
doesn't look as gruesome. It definitely doesn't. Yeah.
It's more scary to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely humanized him a bit, and which they kind of did overall with a lot of the prosthetics as the show like evolved. Mm-hmm. It's like even as fleshed out as the makeup got, there was like more of a human element to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just I'm a person in a monster in a monster mask.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Like you compare that to season one with the master when he's got full makeup on. And he looks like, it looks like makeup. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It looks like, you know, like you believe him, but it also looks like a guy in a costume.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. And since we're talking about werewolves, so you don't like Veruca?
No. Who likes Veruca?
Do you like Veruca, Dan?
She's
actually, Veruca's your type.
She's somewhere in that crazy hot scale. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, you have to gauge
the Barney scale.
She's on the Barney scale. You have to level the level of crazy versus the level of hot. So it's like, you know, I mean, she took
Willow.
Yes,
she's the worst.
That is a very sad story. She is what she is. She's a vampire. She's a werewolf. She has embraced. No. She is the shadow of Oz. She is the dark side of Oz. She's embraced the animal.
Yes, but I don't like it. Because I like Willow and Oz.
I do too. I like them a lot. Yes. No, they're and yeah, no, I like them a lot as well. They're very of all the relationships, they're definitely one of the healthier ones.
Yes, and that's why I'm sad when he leaves.
Yeah.
Because
They could have worked it out.
If Willow didn't get into so much witchcraft, I feel like her and Tara would have been a very healthy relationship. But sadly, because Willow can't control her dang self,
right,
he becomes toxic for poor Tara. And Tara deserves that.
I also don't like the way they wrote Tara. Because I feel like there was so much for Oz to do. And there's so much for Anya to do. And I really feel like Tara is just Willow's girlfriend. And then they try to make a point like, no, that's not just who you are. But then give her something else to do. Yeah. You don't even really make her part of the Scooby gang or anything. Like,
no. I mean,
yeah, no.
I feel like
the only thing she really has is she and Dawn are close.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Dawn comes. Yeah.
There's just a lot going on. There was someone, it got crowded. So it's like what could have been a really good opportunity for her wasn't granted because of everything else going on. Mm-hmm. So like,
they could have gotten rid of Anya and made Tara a better part of it.
You just want to see Anya gone. Riley. You're just anti-Anya.
They should get rid of Riley.
I want Xander
less
happy.
Riley.
Okay, that's fair. You're anti-Xander's happiness. We're pro-suffering of Xander.
Yes. See?
That's fine.
So I actually liked Riley. Until things got weird.
He's
boring.
He's
boring.
He's
well, that's because he's not Angel or Spike.
Yeah, he's stable.
He's a normal human.
He's stable. He's a stable person. Boring. What is this? Is stable boring now because you've had toxic vampire guys?
How about you shut up? He's just boring.
I'm just listen. Okay, he's honest. He makes friends with her friends. You know, you want to be my lover. You got to get with my friends. He makes friends with Willow.
He fights the vampires.
He's
with Buffy.
Okay.
He's military. It's probably why I have a crush on him.
Could be.
Okay.
The thing about men in uniforms. Mm.
Okay. No, you're not going to convince me he's not
bad. I don't need a vampire.
He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad person or anything. I just think he's dull. I'm sorry. He's like a wash rag. He's just there.
Well, he also thought he was dull because he started becoming a feeder.
He just makes me mad when he does that.
He's a solid guy, and then he just becomes a junkie.
Yeah, he can't win.
Well, and he saw that Angel bit Buffy, so in his head, like, he's trying to be. The problem with Riley, even though he is the most stable relationship we had, the problem with Riley is he's trying to be Angel for her.
Right.
He is trying to beat out Angel, and it's like, you can't beat out Angel.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be yourself and pray that she loves you for who you are.
Right.
But we know she doesn't. She's only with him to have a stability in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she that even comes out in this episode, and it's like, she's not really in love with him. She's just right. in love with the idea of what stability could be like.
Right. The idea of a normal life had, if there's no slayer, no demons, no vampires, nothing involved, and I'm just a person. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Her and Riley could have worked out.
They could have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her heart always belongs to Angel, though. At the end of the day, like, that's who she really, that's who she always goes back to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, Spike even sacrifices himself for her.
And it still wasn't enough. Still wasn't
Don't
enough.
Worry.
It never will be enough.
Never but will
it's
be enough.
It's not the end of Spike, at least.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, I don't
Spike's got a very long future ahead of him. We're very happy for Spike.
I thought that was the end of Spike, and I fell apart. Mm-hmm. And Megan's like, just watch Angel.
It's fine.
Really?
It's fine.
He'll come back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But as a freaking ghost, nonetheless, which is even funnier
the
to me.
The best thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So funny.
But Angel brings us, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Angel brings us, what's his name? Like, his actual name. Because I can only think of him in the show I love him in. Hold on. He's only in the first season,
Doyle.
I think.
Doyle?
Are you talking about Doyle?
Maybe. I can't remember his name even in the show. I just know his face. Hold on.
Little Doyle. Irish guy who has the visions in the first season?
No, McDonald.
Which one's McDonald?
He's the evil.
Why do I know him? I know
Lindsay McDonald.
Lindsay, yes. Okay.
Oh, he's not just,
I like
isn't
Lindsay.
He in multiple, he's not just in the first season.
No, he's an ongoing.
I knew he was in the first season.
Yeah, he's an ongoing antagonist.
The Christian Kane. Oh, gosh. I love him.
Good looking dude.
Yes.
He's also in a show called The Librarians.
He is in The Librarians. So I forgot about that.
Oh, okay.
And he's a country singer, and he has that, like, actual country. But
he's got a voice of an angel. Absolutely.
I remember seeing him and falling in love with him. Like, he was my celebrity crush for years. Still kind of is a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he goes from, like, an ongoing antagonist that's really easy to hate to guy who has this big transformation, and then he's just actually singing, like, in the club with a guitar, and he's, like, voice of an angel.
So good. So good.
Yeah. I never hated him even as the villain.
I get that.
I have a thing for villains. What's wrong with me?
I mean, I liked his character the whole way through.
We all like villains. I mean, everyone likes a villain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till we talk about those episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably have an unhealthy thing for Faith, so.
I do love Faith.
I mean, I have an unhealthy thing for Spike, so, you know.
Actually, you know what? Screw it. It's not even unhealthy. It's just.
It's not.
You know?
Faith is a misunderstood. You know, she just needs some help.
She's misunderstood. And she's
needs someone to
very,
love her.
She's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. Mm-hmm. Very, very strong.
I do.
Spike's not misunderstood. He is what he is.
So strong.
Oh, no.
And I'm there for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stop fantasizing.
Sorry.
We're on a podcast.
Listen, I would be
Listen,
gay
we're gonna
Willow
get to Dollhouse at some point. You're gonna
her.
See what I'm talking about.
So, yeah, I get it, Dan. I get it. Like, if I had to pick somebody,
you can
it would be
all
safe.
You want. Just we're on screen. We're recording.
It's fine. I'm not saying. All I said was just you're strong. That's all I said. I didn't say anything.
Boy, I heard the far off stare in your voice.
Look, y'all are one. Y'all are the ones filling in the blanks. All I said was she's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. We saw how she handled Xander. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't deserve her to be his first.
Nah.
Well, no, that's true, but...
No.
It is what it is.
He was too lowly for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she lowered herself to him.
Faith, I don't think Faith really has any standards when it comes to just... I need to do the thing, and you are there.
Yeah, he was just
You get the job done.
Exactly.
You know, you're a body, He's you get
body.
The job done.
Warm body.
She'd probably jump on any sort of demon that's there that's willing.
Probably.
True story.
Yeah. Okay, we got to talk about Hush.
So good. Such a good episode.
Like, I know we talked about it when we actually, like, interviewed
Doug.
Mm-hmm.
But just the prosthetic, the makeup, the
totally creepy
look. How they slowly
very graceful, very musical, very theatrical, very operatic.
so well
very
done.
Gentlemanlike.
Very gentle. Very.
Even how they kill is very gentlemanlike.
Mm-hmm. Like they don't have any rigid movements at all. It's all very graceful.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. He's like, you first, sir. Like, you go first. Yeah. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh my gosh.
It's great.
And you're like frozen in terror, and all you can do is watch them.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, gentlemanly argue who's going to kill you first.
God.
Yes.
It's like,
so creepy.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Like, we kind of, it's like, you kind of understand how disturbed Joss Whedon actually really is by seeing what scares them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, fair. Yeah. It's like, what's the scariest thing you can think of? That. And he said that, yeah. too. He said, like, the gentleman is, like, in his mind, the scariest villain he's ever created.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, and this episode is very, I feel like, very difficult for an actor, mm-hmm. I would think, because you cannot, actors, a lot of the time they use their words, but there's also actions involved. But I think if they did Hush sooner in the series before they actually got to know each other and knew how to interact with each other without words, mm-hmm. this wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
But because we're in season four, because they have a really tight-knit relationship, right. because True. they've been in these characters mm-hmm. for a while, like, just their actions, how they, like, I love Buffy, like, her eyes. She just knows how to, like,
mm-hmm.
like...
Yeah, Sarah can carry speak. It. Yeah, it
oh my
matter.
Gosh, so right. good. Mm-hmm. And Giles is, like, aspirated, like, size and stuff, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you guys. I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. When they write down, how do we kill it, and Buffy demonstrates how to kill it, but then grabs the stake and then actually don't... How do we kill it?
Yeah, oh, she's doing it, and they're like, what?
What? Grabs the stake. Oh.
Like... Come on, you guys.
Where's your mind at?
Isn't she sitting down?
She's sitting down, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
It's kind of, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was purposeful, Joss.
Oh, no, that was absolutely purposeful, yeah.
Yes, very funny.
Oh, goodness gracious. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what funny moments in that.
Just their, and their mouths, they're always showing...
Yeah.
Didn't Doug say, like, this character even scares him?
Probably.
Yeah, I believe yeah. he did
mention he's
weirded out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
The one thing I didn't like is that random girl that Giles had.
So oh, his girlfriend?
Oh, like in the very first episode, first couple episodes or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was there briefly, yeah. Not,
if they were going to bring somebody else into his life, I wish they would have, like, tried to...
Like, make her a regular, like, developer. Make, yeah, I could see
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's just kind of there to so, like, hey, like, Giles has a private life. You know, just mm-hmm. so you're aware. We don't need to go into details, but, like, you know, he's got on his own thing going on outside mm-hmm. of the Scooby Gang.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know. Doug probably told us. I'm looking through the Hush trivia. And did Doug tell us that he was able to keep the smile, the creepy smile, on camera the whole time without any, like, aids to keep his mouth
I don't
open?
Remember if he mentioned that or not, to be honest.
But apparently him and one of the other ones, Camden
I was gonna say, it's only
they
two
didn't
of them.
Need aids to keep their mouth the way they needed okay. to be.
Even creepier.
Yeah. I believe that if that's the case, like, with Doug, I actually believe, I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
That he's capable of that.
It's kind of cool that we're on, like, a first name basis.
I know, right?
So sweet.
We literally talked to him about this. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Allison Hannigan's favorite episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, fair, because it's awesome.
Let's hear. Joss claimed he wrote this as to challenge himself.
Mm.
Critics have hailed him for his deft use of banter and witty wordplay, so he decided to see if he was a good enough writer to craft a script which was largely lacking any dialogue at all.
Mm-hmm.
You did it, bud.
You did it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which yeah. I get that, though. He does tend to lean on his quippy dialogue quite often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, this really did prove his chops. Like,
absolutely.
He did it.
Yeah.
It was probably one of his best episodes
it is,
the whole series.
Yeah, you know, it is a study in visual storytelling, because film is visual storytelling. It's supposed to be visual storytelling. So, like, mm-hmm. the fact that he returned to those roots in primetime television, mm-hmm. that's a big accomplishment. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Did you know the gentlemen were featured as monsters in the maze at Orlando's Hollywood Horror Nights in 2005 and 2008?
Nice.
I did read that. Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wish I could have been.
I would not enjoy that maze.
Like, turn the corner and there, I would have been. I'd be dead. Like,
that would be one I would run. Yeah.
Run, I'd be gone. Or something else I just saw that I thought was interesting. Where'd it go? Or no. No, it was a thought I had. So, yeah. So I find it interesting that he also then challenged himself with the musical episode that mm-hmm. we're going to see in season six mm-hmm. because every musical episode I saw, like, during that time was just so cheesy and so just, it was very Broadway and just, it was apart from the show where I feel like he challenged himself again and he actually, I feel like their musical episode is the best musical episode I've ever seen.
Yeah.
From any of, like, the 2000 shows that did them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's a sweet spot when it comes to musicals. Because you can go too far one way, and it's just depressing. And then you go too far the other way, and it's cheesy. Like, you really have to find that line between campy and deep. And he's always been really good at doing that anyway. But with the musical episode, it really, you saw how good he could be at that.
Or
he did. Yeah. He was able
to do and that. He's not, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he has any musical training, correct?
Like, his family does. Like, his brother is a musician.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he can sing and he can play the piano. I think he plays a little bit of the guitar.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
I never knew he was musical.
No, he is. Yeah, he's definitely musical. Okay. I don't know how musical.
I'll probably find that out when I write.
Probably notes. When you're researching, yeah.
Well, his brother, Jed Whedon, actually wrote a lot of the music for the musical and Dr. Horrible as well. So.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, that's right. He did Dr. Horrible. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We're watching that.
When we get to Dr. Horrible, I have to mention this because there's an album out. I forget the name of it. I have to look it up. But it's a behind the scenes of Dr. Horrible, but it's a musical behind the scenes.
Oh my goodness.
Like they're sort of inadvertently not really talking about how they did it, but like kind of giving little interviews, cheesy little interviews with the character with like the actors like Nathan Fillion and the different people. But it's done like a musical and it's really fun. Like Neil Patrick Harris has a number, Felicia Day has a number, Joss Whedon actually sings in that one. I forget. I have to tell the name of the album, but it's a lot of fun to listen to. So,
okay, that's something I want to check.
Nathan Fillion sings about how much better he thinks he is than Neil Patrick Harris. It's very funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are we frowning about?
Oh, I was just looking at this dialogue that was apparently cut from the Wiccan circle that Willow goes to. There was apparently some dialogue that was cut. It didn't make any sense. I'm glad they cut it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this. So at 24 minutes and 24 minutes and 56 seconds in Hush, the gentleman passed by a door with the number 217 on it. This is a homage to the 1977 novel by Stephen King, The Shining.
Oh, nice.
In the book, Room 212 was one of the most haunted rooms in the Overlook Hotel. Uh-huh. In the 1980 film, the adaptation Room 217 was renamed to 237. Uh-huh. This is because the blah, 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 blah. But they wanted to play, he wanted to pay homage to The Shining in this, which makes sense because the most evil, scary monsters go into the most haunted room. Yes, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah.
I love that. I love little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah, little things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently, Sarah screamed her heart out at the end.
Oh yeah.
I think it was so much of a scream your heart out. It had to be dubbed due to the length.
Peeking.
Mm-hmm.
Sound audio thinking.
Oh my gosh.
She is committed, obviously.
Yeah, I believe it.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you heard rumors? Did we talk about rumors of a reboot of this or an extension of this?
Of Buffy? Or
Buffy.
That's not a rumor. Like, they're doing it.
No, yeah, that was actually a thing.
They are doing it?
Yeah, it's not even a rumor.
An extension or a reboot?
It's kind of a reboot. There's going to be a new Slayer, so.
Yeah.
I doubt.
It's not like a revamping where, like, there's a new person playing Buffy. Like, I think Sarah, like, she's still part of it, but it's, like, it's not
a reboot. It's an extension.
Extension, yeah. So it's, like, it's not, it's still same universe, same people playing the same characters, just introducing something like that.
I wonder if they're going to go off of the novels that they published.
Mm. My understanding is no.
There's two novels. but they're not Buffy related. They're new Slayer. It's a new Slayer. Yeah. So I'm wondering
maybe,
if they're going to riff off that at all.
My understanding is it's a whole new, brand new story completely. But they could use influences from it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Any other episodes we want to talk about? I was just kind of going down the list of things you like.
I still like Beer Bad. Beer Bad's still one of my favorites. It's just,
I enjoy Beer Bad.
It's so,
I'll
like,
give you that.
It's so silly. It's so silly, and it has like, we talk about Whedon's quippiness. There's a lot of quippiness in that episode. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep saying "Stinky Parker Man." I remember that line that Willow uses on Parker. Like that always stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, there's better men out there than Stinky Parker Man.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like, you know, Xander becomes a bartender with like a fake ID, shows it to Willow. Yeah. She's like, I don't believe this is entirely on the up and up. What gives it away? Looking at it.
Yes.
Xander is a bartender.
He's a bartender, right?
Why? He's like 19. He can't be a bartender.
Right. And the guy who owns the bar is just like, whatever, who cares? And then he tries to card the guys, and he's like being all like authoritative about it, and the bar's like, just give him the beer.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And like, he keeps wanting that moment where he gets to be like the cool bartender who like comforts a lady who's having a hard day with like the lighter. Whole time he keeps doing it, and then he fails and fails and fails, and then he sees Buffy starting to like go ape or whatever, and then he actually gets the opportunity. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally this beautiful lady with a cigarette, like, oh, I'm having the worst day. Hey, you got a light? No smoking.
It's a very funny episode.
Yeah.
I don't like the apiness of it. It's just not my favorite to watch.
Yeah. It's funny to me just because I had an AP evolution moment, and I'm realizing this as an adult, when I learned how to do laundry in college. Like, stay with me, because I obviously...
No, I know. A lot of people didn't know how to do laundry until they got to college.
See, I knew how to do laundry, but I never had to do laundry in high school.
Oh,
like,
I had to help in college.
See,
high school.
It was all, yes, I didn't have to deal with that, so poo-poo on me, but whatever. In college, I'm experiencing that for the first time, but it's like registering on an emotional level the importance of laundry, because young male ape want to attract female ape. Male ape smell. Dirty clothes, we don't like that. What we do? Big machine, what machine do? Press, go boom, boom. Clothes get wet, clothes get dry. Oh, clothes no stink anymore. What we do? Ape stinky, female ape no like. Attract female ape. Good clothes. Clothes in big machine smell better. What we do? Figure it out. Laundry. Laundry, clean clothes. Clean clothes make ape smell good. Attract female ape.
Okay.
That's how my brain functioned. That's how my brain sort of developed in college. It's it's mildly embarrassing, but it's funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh gosh. No, that's probably a lot of people
sure.
Yeah.
In college that
it's like you register, you have to like learn how to person. So
yes.
It's like, you know, from that moment on, I have consistently done my own laundry forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those few people who actually enjoy doing laundry.
It depends on the day.
Yeah. It does get irritating, but like having to do it. But you know, it's like clean clothes, male ape, no stink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true.
This is very true, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't like doing laundry in college.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hated that room.
Fair.
It was annoying.
Yeah.
It was, well, and we had to pay for it. And I was like, I don't want to deal with this today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
We had to pay for it. It was a part of our stuff, and we could only do laundry so much during the month, and then you had to like.
Didn't we have
add
like?
Extra.
That's right.
We had like so many points of a week or something.
Something like we had to swipe our cards for something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had like so many points a week to do laundry.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
We didn't have that in the freshman dorms, though. I don't think.
No, we all had to. Well, I don't know what you guys did in the freshman.
I don't remember having that in the freshman dorms.
From South Point.
Okay, yeah, you had the actual laundromat,
I had the actual laundromat.
Yeah, the freshman and sophomore junior dorms didn't have that. It was just like a regular laundromat, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what you guys
had. Yeah, no, we had just a regular laundry room. I don't think we had to pay for. I don't think.
Well, we didn't pay, remember. Like, depending on, I think, how much we, I think it was like, depending on, oh gosh, like you got to choose a plan. So you could do like a lower plan where you paid so much for the whole year and you only got like so many a week or so many a month, or you could pay for an unlimited plan where you never had to worry about it. You had to pay for it up front.
That sounds right.
I hated it. But I hated the room because it was like 20 machines and 20 dryers and it was hot and humid and it was already Florida.
And nine times out of ten, they're already full.
And if you left, if you left for like 10 minutes and came back and your laundry was done, your laundry was on the floor because someone would just get out.
They pull it out.
They
don't care.
They're the worst.
Yeah, no, they don't care.
Or they would steal your clothes out of the dryer. Like, it was the worst. We were literally on campus and people were doing this.
Yeah.
No, if you had to do laundry, you had to stay in there because otherwise your laundry,
you had to babysit it.
Yeah.
That's why I only used it once, and that was during the summer when there was nobody there. So wasn't really, I didn't have
that. That's the only thing
I
could use, because all my dorms, like, I was in South Point freshman year, and I was in Valencia the rest of my life. Mm-hmm, so I had no choice. Mm-hmm. Now, Buttercup, we had a laundry room. So my one semester in Buttercup, I was able to have my own laundry room, which was nice. But yeah. I was looking through the list. We really haven't talked about, like, there's just a couple of sides I just want to mention. We don't have to go into detail. Ethan Rain shows up randomly, and, you know, Giles becomes a demon. That was a fun episode.
That's a funny episode.
That's a funny episode.
Especially Giles and Spike pairing up. It was great.
Yes. And then we had the superstar episode where Jonathan does a spell, and he's like the man. And I'm like, I remember starting to watch him, like, what is happening right now? And then I realized, I'm like, oh.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dumb.
Right.
So we didn't mention that one. And then I think that was the only other one. Yeah, those two I saw. I'm like, oh, those were fun episodes. Not, like, much to talk about, but but fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, because now at the end of this season, like at the end of the season, Adam's dead. The initiative is no more.
Yes.
Correct? Initiative's done?
Right.
And Riley's still around, correct? He's around in season. Yeah, he's around in season five. And season five is when he turns dumb.
Right.
Like, dumb. Like, you need to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait for the first episode of season five. It's like one of my favorites of that season.
Okay.
Buffy versus Dracula.
Yeah,
I do enjoy
Dracula.
Yes,
it's one of those, like, we knew, you know, he had to show up eventually. It's a show about vampires.
I know.
Like, what would that look like? Like, the vampire. How does Buffy go up against the vampire?
I know.
Yeah,
it's great.
And who? I know the guy who played him too. He is the guy who plays him. Yeah, I don't see him till later, but he plays a bad. He plays one of the main bads in NCIS, which is like one of my absolute favorite shows of all time. Okay. I watch it on a loop. I have probably went through all 20 some seasons more than 10 times in my life. Like, I continuously watch them. It's my, like, safe show or comfort show or whatever you call it. He plays Arya Suari in NCIS, and I remember, like, connecting. Like, I remember watching NCIS, and I'm like, why do I know that face? And then when I went back to watch Buffy at one point, when I watched that episode, I'm like, it's Ari's Dracula. That makes so much sense. Because you cannot, like, I don't know what it is about the character of Dracula, but it's like, maybe it's just me, but it's just like, you can't help but be attracted to Dracula.
That's the point.
He's exactly. No, absolutely. Yeah. He is.
And they picked the perfect person for it.
Yes. Well,
he's dark. He's charming. He's seductive. He's powerful. He's alluring. I mean, he's just got whatever it is. He is it. He doesn't just have it. He is it.
He is it.
Well, and Ari in NCIS is kind of like this, like, terrorist Dracula.
Okay.
He's not a vampire, but he's like the smooth, and it's just like, so attracted to you right now. It's like, when I figured out he was Dracula and Buffy, I'm like, this is why I'm attracted to you right now.
Right.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have nothing else for this season, you guys.
Yeah. What I've been thinking about, one final thing about season four, is that it's probably my favorite, mostly because everything that happens in season four pretty much shapes what will happen in five, six, and seven. So, like, all the major changes in this season.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Spike kind of develops a conscience, so starts to anyway. Xander and Anya are together. Willow discovers herself and meets Tara. And, like, all of that change. It's like it's like puberty for the show. Like, mm-hmm. season 1 through 3 are, like, childhood, and then 4 is puberty, and then 5, 6, 7 are, like, we're growing up. We're grown up.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I like it, personally.
Season 6.
Yeah.
Season 6 is, like, your midlife crisis.
It is. It's very much a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Season 5 is adulthood, like, early mm-hmm. adulthood, where you're like, ooh, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Season 6 mm-hmm. is like, oh, crap, but I'm an adult.
Yeah. And season 7, it's like,
well, I'm an adult.
Like, okay, we're an adult. Like, yeah, sometimes it sucks, but we're going to deal with it.
Yep. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. All well, right. Pixie Dusters, we look forward to seeing you next week for season mm-hmm. 5.
Yes.
5, not 10. 5. I wish there was 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. 5.
Oh.
Of Buffy, and I will be in charge next week, so yes. that could get interesting. So
sweet.
Be prepared for my crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And hopefully we don't have any internet problems again.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope it runs a little smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be home. So I should be on my computer.
Okay. That should help.
Yeah. They have full strength. I think we just had a storm. I think something went over us, just kind yeah. of like flipped it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan's doing nonverbals.
Okay.
All right. See you real soon, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.